Miskatonic University digitization effort is proud to present Audia Miskatonica, a fascinating delve into our university's own personal archives. Please note that the decision to make certain approved transcripts from our archives publicly available has been quite the controversial one. Therefore, it is only fitting to begin this series with one of our more controversial journals, one I'm sure we will return to semi-regularly on this program, the Journal of Alleged Cosmonaut, Myron Yakimov. Now, we say alleged cosmonaut because neither the current Russian government nor Soviet Union has any record of this individual, nor his mission. There are a few reasons as to why this may be. The simplest answer would be that there is no Myron Yakimov, and the diary is a mere work of fiction. However, if this were to be true, then Myron Yakimov's scientific Soviet adventures would have predicted many horrifying truths about our universe decades prior to their initial discoveries. In fact, Myron's journal predicted revelations so specific, eldritch and otherwise, that we believe it is nearly impossible for this journal to be a work of fiction. So, if we are to believe this journal is real, why isn't Myron credited by his country? Did the Soviet Union cover it all up? If so, why? Why would they deny proof of spectacularly outperforming the capitalists in the space race? Well, it's certainly possible that Myron Yakimov and his strange mission to the edge of the solar system were covered up. We here at the Miskatonic University have a different idea. And maybe, by the end of our program, you will too. And now, without any further introduction, Audia Miskatonica and the Miskatonic University digitization effort presents The Journal of Myron Yakimov, Entry 1. Greetings. My name is Myron Yakimov. I am the sole crew member on board the Yashka 3, an experimental USSR long-distance hibernation vessel. My mission, or rather, the mission I had signed on for, was a 20-year round trip to Pluto and back home. 10 years in cryosleep on automatic transit to the edge of the solar system. I was supposed to deploy a hammer and sickle to hang in orbit over our furthest planet. There was intel that the capitalists were going to put a flag on the moon. Our plan was to display our technological dominance with a flag over Pluto. Or so I had thought. I had originally planned on keeping this journal to record my hibernation dreams. But after what happened to me in my first few hours out of stasis, I knew this journal had to serve a greater purpose. When I awoke from my cryosleep, I knew nothing was right. The stars were all wrong. The planets, all the wrong sizes. I knew I was nowhere near Pluto. I checked the ship's terminal for information, but it was useless. Time wasted, a distraction from what was right in front of me. When I looked up from my screen, I had finally seen it. The real reason for my mission, my unknowing destiny pulling at the fabric of space. There, on a clear path of trajectory with the ship, sat a gaping hole in the universe. The edges of the cosmos contorting, curving in on themselves, twisting to form a tunnel or tube to who knows where. I now know where. Not where. Everywhere. My ship stayed true, despite my best efforts to divert course, for this had been my mission all along. I was to be sacrificed for science, for discovery, for country. So be it. I panicked, and I prayed, and by the time I had reached the event horizon, I had felt something unlike anything before. I felt myself become God. My mind that was once one stretched into an infinite number of minds, the number constantly growing as my rocket ship was spat out again and again and again across the multiverse. In an instant, I was living an infinite number of lives, each lifetime simultaneously aware of the others. Each new individual version of me completely aware of each new multiverse I continued to cascade into. Again and again and again, wherever the portal decided, no. Wherever it decides to take me. In that instant I had a metamorphosis into a hive mind of a sort, with one drone per universe in the multiverse, all sharing one mind, one soul. In one universe, when I learned how to bypass my ship's autopilot, I learned it in all of them. When I learned that aliens were not only real, but intelligent, I learned it in each of my lives. When I learned what horrible, unholy truths lie at the end of the stars, I learned it in each life. And when I made a vital mistake and died, I learned from the mistake. Each lesson learned by each. I would soon learn that many of these universes were vastly different from one another. But I would always have with me one constant, myself and my ship, of course. But I have another constant with me in each universe, the journal that came with me and my ship, the very guide you now have in your hands. I realized this diary needed to not only tell my story, but answer great questions we have about life, about the universe, about God. But more importantly, this journal must serve a greater purpose. For this journal must also serve as a grave warning. A warning about the darkness that exists just beyond our perception. For the void that keeps us trapped and separated is also what keeps out unimaginable horrors that must not be welcomed in, no matter the power they offer. The drive of the mortal soul is dangerous when desperate. I hope whoever is reading this never has to face what lies beyond. I hope this journal makes it into the right hands. May its knowledge raise mankind to new heights, and may they never reach the horizon. The entry ends here for the most part, save for a detailed star map on the adjacent page showing the exact location of the wormhole. While quite a beautiful map, it is not at all accurate with the stars as we know them. This brings us to our theory on Myron's origin. You see, this journal was discovered in New Mexico in early July 1947, just a few days prior to the crash at Roswell. If Myron Yakimov's story is to be true, then he is not from our universe. He is from another Earth, another timeline where things were a little different. He's been sent on a mission across the entire multiverse, and so it is only natural that he would reach ours eventually. We sincerely hope you've enjoyed this audio transcription. Join us next time, where we'll transcribe the unholy tapestry of the Baron of Bogwater. Audio Miskatonica is presented and produced by the Miskatonic University digitization effort. Before we go, just a final reminder that we here at the Miskatonic University are not responsible for any actions taken by individuals based on information learned in this program. Thank you, and you have been warned.